Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the ID10T podcast number 1013. If you're going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina, or the surrounding areas, or maybe you just feel like going on a super long trip, I'm going to be at Goodnight's Comedy Club in Raleigh, North Carolina, August 8, 9, 10. If you have a pop figure, bring it. I think we're actually going to be selling some there if you don't have one. But I'm happy to sign it, whatever you have. I'll sign whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. Well, within reason. You know, if you work at a morgue, don't bring a corpse. I'm not going to sign that. Unless it's one of the 1,000 corpses from House of 1,000 Corpses. In which case, bring your House of 1,000 Corpses stuff. I'll sign that too. People do. There are amazing people who have spent years collecting like all of the corpses' signatures from Rob and Sherry and Rain and Mosley and everyone. And so, I always am delighted to see those too. So whatever, I hope to see you there. The website is goodnightscomedy.com, August 8, 9, 10. Let's talk about the Community Cork Board, ID10T. It's events at ID10T.com. And Todd writes, just wanted to tell you about my podcast, The 206 Geek. I recorded on my iPad using the recording app Backpack Studio. It's a great app. Anyway, that's a good recommendation, actually. I haven't used it, but it's always nice to hear about what apps people use to record their podcasts for other folks who are out there recording their podcasts and making their things. So thank you for the recommendation, Todd. Anyway, he says, I basically talk about nerdy stuff and anything I find cool on the internet. I recommend podcasts, TV shows, and movies. And I talk about stories I find on social media or blogs. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If they can't find it, just go to 206geek.com, the number 206geek.com, and listen there. Thanks, Todd. Nice work. Also, Tim writes, I co-authored a book with a friend of mine called The 90-Day Meditation Challenge. I'm interested. How to build a daily mindfulness practice, it's called. We decided to create a down-earth guide that uses humor and is easier to relate to than some books on the topic. Yes, some meditation books are a little on the heavier side. So it's nice, like a more upbeat version, you know, anything that kind of broadens the horizons and gets people to practice mindfulness and meditate. Good, good, good. It's for anyone who wants to get into meditation but doesn't know where to start, or for anyone who tried it and wasn't sure if they were doing it right. It teaches a practical system that anyone can use and methods to turn meditation into a daily habit. I know how much meditation has improved my life, and I want to share it with as many people as I can. You can find the 90-Day Meditation Challenge on Amazon, and if you're a Kindle Unlimited member, you can download it for free. All right, nice job, Tim. This episode is Katie Sackhoff, who is hilarious. Now, obviously, Katie, you know from a million things, including Battlestar, and she's rad. And the first time she was on the podcast years ago, it was legitimately one of the funniest episodes in the history of the podcast. She's hilarious. She does a lot of sci-fi stuff now. I hope she does more comedy. I hope she gets to do more comedy because she makes me laugh real hard. And it was wonderful to have her back on the podcast. She's promoting her new Netflix sci-fi series, Another Life, which is on Netflix now. It's streaming now. And her upcoming YouTube channel that is going to be launching in August. And we're going to talk about this on the podcast. And it's a friggin' amazingly cool idea. And I'm so happy she's doing it. So, So when her YouTube channel launches in just a couple days, I believe August 6th, she said, was the day. So just a few days from the posting of this episode. And go enjoy all things Katie Sackhoff because she's rad. And here is the ID10T podcast number 1013 with Katie Sackhoff returning to the podcast as we roll the thing.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
Fun when things work. Have you ever redone a house before?
Oh, I'm in the process of it right now.
Yeah!
I've been living in the guest house for 2 years.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. The house has been gutted for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sitting there. Just today's the day that we are in final plan check. So...
Is it sort of like Money Pit? Where the Money Pit? You ever seen Money Pit with Tom Hanks and Shelley Long?
Yeah. Yes.
It's that same thing. Or like, 2 weeks!
Yeah.
And then like a year,
yeah.
2 years
There's
later.
There's holes in the floor. So like when I go in to show people the house, the dogs follow. I'm like, no!
Trap doors!
The big fluffy ones like this one. It's really bad.
What do you... So you just ripped it down to the studs and you're just...
So I found a 16,000 square foot lot.
Oh, wow!
Massive.
Where? How?
Massive. I was about to buy a house in Encino,
mm-hmm.
and the day I went out, it was like 105 degrees, and I was like really upset on the drive home that was my, I was like, I'm buying this house for the property so the dogs can hang out outside, and my 14-year-old pug would die in this heat.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this. And on the way home, I drove past this house, and I'm like... They've been telling me to look at this stupid house for like, it's been sitting on the market for 6 months. I might as well look at it. And I walked in and was like, it was, they ran Buddhist retreats out of it. So the energy was like,
wow.
It was perfect. I walked in the front door and like turned around and was like, I'll take it. And they were like, that's great. We've gotten 2 offers this morning.
Oh, of course.
And I was like, how does that happen? It sits on the market for 6 months. And then all of a sudden, so I bought it and then... started doing plans and then went through plan check, and it took so long to get through plan check, they changed the code.
Oh, that, yeah, that always happens.
And the house no longer fit on the property, so they so then I started all over again. So just me, my boyfriend, and 3 dogs in the back house.
It's always good to get permits and go the proper route.
Yeah.
And I do it, I support it, but knowing what the hurdles are to get things done, it's understandable why people do unpermitted things.
Oh my God. It's the dumbest things that they make you do. Like now the setback is 6 feet and it used to be 5 feet. So the new addition has to jog in a foot, but you're allowed to have the roof hang out.
Yeah.
So I looked at the guy and I went, you know, you're like begging for me to just pop that back out 1 foot when you guys leave. Right. And he was like, yeah.
I can't. Yeah. 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 Just, I have a, There's another little place that we're going to restore, and where it's built, like up next to the wall.
Oh, thank you.
Our contractor was like, yeah, you can't demolish too much of this house, because if you do, you'll have to move it to a different part of the property.
Pick it up.
Because it's not, because by current standards, it wouldn't be, it's okay that it's here now because it's old.
Yeah.
But you would never be able to put a new house here. You'd have to just like start all over again.
That's the same thing they said. They were like, you can pick it up and move it. I was like, the whole 3,000 square feet or just that one?
Everyone grab a corner. We're just going to pick this up. We'll just move it over there.
People do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's a fun process. Mm. I love it because my favorite thing with restoration is that like – because we work in creative fields, sometimes it's very difficult to, and our results can be very subjective.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to track the progress of something. Is this making sense? Is this working? Is this doing a good job? But when you're restoring a house, it's very linear. I'm going to take this down. I'm going to put this up. I'm going to put this wallpaper. I'm going to put this furniture. And it's like a living exhibit to your effort.
Yes. It's, you're building a fence.
You're building a fence. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I don't know how to track.
Yeah.
I still don't know how to track like creative. I think that's why there's so many people go crazy in this business, because they're just trying to figure out like, am I doing a good job? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, it's been a year and a half since we started doing this or pitched this new show to Netflix. A year and a half. No one's seen it. So
gosh.
You know, a year and a half for the house. Any house other than my house, you'd actually see some work done on it.
18 months is a pretty standard gestation period.
Mm.
Like if you can get something done in a year and a half in this business, that's actually pretty good.
It's pretty good, right?
Because some things can be 3 years, 5 years,
yeah.
you know, 10 years.
Yeah.
poking around.
Yeah. Yeah, so supposed to get our permits today, but in the meantime, we have gotten one of those like $300 above ground pools off Amazon.
Yeah.
And like a keg and a slip and slide in the backyard. Because we're like, we might as well enjoy this backyard.
Yeah, you got to live like trailer people.
Tearing
Come
it
on.
Up. It's a redneck Riviera in my backyard. People walk in and they're like, oh, is that a slip and slide? And a pool?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Over here is a skeet shooting range.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Watch out for dog poop. It's going to be there.
It's over there. That car's up on blocks. We're going to get to it.
It's totally fine.
Don't you worry.
You don't worry about it. Fence is falling down, so if you need to get out, you actually got to crawl under it.
Sorry.
It's okay.
The Venice Hillbillies.
It's held together by some bungee cords. It actually is. And there's a stick to hold it away from the house.
So what does this mean now that... So what does it mean now that you're in the... Today's like the last plan check. Does that mean that then you can then do the rest of the work to
yes.
complete the house?
The builder can then actually submit for the plan or the permit. So once the city signs off today, which would be amazing.
Yeah.
After 2 years, my builder then can go down and submit the plans because they've been approved. And then we wait for our permit, which... I was under the impression that as soon as today was over and they stamped it, that we could, like, you know, tear the walls off. And no.
No. I wanted to move. No. I have a call box on the front gate here, and I just wanted to move it out to the sidewalk because it was too close to the gate. So you had to, like, get out of your car.
Yeah.
And that took about a year.
Yeah.
Just to be able to move. Just like, and to have all these. And whatever, you know, they're doing their job. I don't begrudge them that. But it just is a process.
I do. I do.
I want to move this like 3 feet, please.
Yeah.
Well, we need to have an architect drop, but it's just 3 feet, please.
Right? Yeah, you want to change anything. I was like, I think I might actually want to make this window smaller in this room, which you'd think, like architect, like, you know, structurally, that's actually better.
Yeah.
No, you have to go back to the city with... The plans from the architect
and
the engineer.
You can understand from a certain point of view, like, you want to make sure people are doing safe work. You want to make sure people are doing structurally sound things. But there is a level of bureaucracy that is kind of comical because, you know, if you've been renting for a long time, when you buy your house, you're like, this is my house. I can't wait.
Yay.
I'm going to put a door here and that. I'm going to do this and we're going to expand this. And you find out, like, oh, yeah, you can't just do whatever you want.
No.
There's a long process.
And they change the laws all the time.
So that by the time the first process completes...
You're done.
You get screwed because it changes.
They changed the code from the time I built the last house. Literally, the house was like 300 square feet over what the property would support anymore. And so the whole plan changed. Or it might have been 400, but it wasn't a lot.
Do you get the sense that sometimes that this is all run by like the Jerky Boys? And then when you call and go, okay, we're going to get our permits today, they're like...
Right?
Oh, I'm sorry. We, this is not the same permit anymore.
No. We're just going to throw a dart at a calendar and let you know when you can start building.
Hold on. I told her it was a different permit.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is going to cost you another $7,500.
Oh, and your engineer, and then you're, you know, do you realize how expensive it is to print a fucking set of plans? It's paper. It is like $100 to print a set of plans. They require three for one person. I don't know. He's like, do you have your three sets of plans? I'm like, for you and what? The Holy Ghost? Like, it's me and the Trinity are going to, we need three sets of plans.
One for the Lord, one for Jesus.
Yes.
And then one for the baby Jesus.
And one for baby Jesus.
One for baby Jesus. We need adult Jesus and baby Jesus plans.
Both of them.
Baby Jesus is going to
have same person.
Now, if he cries when he sees this, it's not going to be good.
You're done. He's like a gopher. If he pops up and goes back down, you're screwed.
We've turned the baby Jesus into Groundhog Day.
Now,
if the baby Jesus sees his shadow, you're going to have 6 more months of planning to do. Ah, oh, fuck!
Fuck, baby Jesus. God.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Katie Sackhoff. I've so missed having you on.
My property has seen baby Jesus four times. We're good. So hopefully today he doesn't feel like coming
I hope
up.
Not. You just don't know what kind of mood he's going to be.
Hopefully there's like a rattlesnake wrapped around him, holding him down in the hole.
He's not going to like that. This is not a good day.
This is not.
Last week, you should have sent this in last week. He was smiling. He was eating.
This week he's just shitting
the
in his diaper.
Thing, and then he's got diarrhea.
It's terrible.
He's
coming
diarrhea.
Up just to air the hole out.
I'm so sorry. We're going to have to charge you again. Who prints it out? Do you have to go to Kinko's? FedEx Kinko's?
You have to go to like an actual like printing thing.
And they
just
print out those giant...
The giant ones. And conveniently, there's one downstairs at the city.
Yeah.
Like, so they can really charge you.
Oh,
they
my
know
gosh.
Me now.
Yeah, so it's basically like... charging, you know, a shit ton of money for like a screw because they know that you need it.
Yes.
And so you have to, because I can't wrap my mind around why it would cost $100. Like I'm going through all the.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Maybe for all three, it's $100. But it's still a lot of money.
That's still a lot just because you have to do that every single time.
Yeah.
And of course your architect is working on an hour, you know, I don't know if he's working on a flat rate or an hourly rate.
No,
but...
no, that would be too convenient. It's hourly.
Someday you're going to get to live in this house and it's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be really great.
I'm ready to sell it. I'm ready. It's so funny. When people come to visit, we're like, you've got options. You got the hotel down the street. You got a blow up mattress or we have a tent.
Yeah.
You can actually, we'll leave the door open for you so you can use the bathroom in the middle of the night, but it's actually nice out there.
Or you could just fall through a hole in the floor and we'll just chuck a pillow down.
You could actually have the entire house to yourself. Light a fire. Just do whatever
you
want.
Burn it down, as a matter of fact. Burn the fucking house down.
I'd actually love it because then it would be great. We'd have more property to build on. So we'd do it all over again.
Yeah, sometimes it does seem easier to just start over, but it's...
Yeah.
But also... Then it kind of fucks up the property because then you're not really using all the space in an optimal way. So.
Yeah, and there are also things that are great, like that I've got a burning wood burning fireplace. That's, you know, it supposedly I should keep.
Right.
So I'm building around this fireplace that I don't think we're legally allowed to burn wood in California.
No.
So you can't burn wood, but I have a fireplace for it, so that's good.
You just put in a little gas. We have those in our houses. You just have a little remote control and it's got a gas thing and you and then you have a fire.
Great.
I mean, you only need a fire in Los Angeles for like a month, a year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sometimes at the beach. But my chihuahua likes to lay in front of a fire. So we moved away from the house that had a fireplace.
Fancy.
He's very fancy.
Damn.
Yeah. He's really fancy. Yeah. He really likes the sun. He's from New Mexico.
Okay.
So
he really
likes the dirt.
He needs
the
heat. He's basically cold-blooded.
Yeah.
He has to heat
himself. So in the summer, we have this little electrical fireplace for him now that looks like a fireplace. Because when we moved into this guest house from a house with a fireplace, he was so depressed.
I was like,
what is going on? He was hiding. So I got him a space heater. He hates it.
Mm-hmm.
I got him a fireplace that's fake, that blows out heat. Loves it. Lays in front of it all day long. It's the dumbest dog. It's really quite a sight to see because he's still intact, too. So he really just lays with that portion of his body toward
the heater.
Your
life is filled with those weird bureaucracy. City bureaucracy, dog bureaucracy.
Yeah. The only thing I have going for me is I'm not in Coastal Commission. That is it. Everyone comes to my house and they're like, are you Coastal? I'm like, no. They're like, thank God. It would have taken an extra year.
You can't do anything. It's like you can't.
No.
That's a whole extra layer of stuff that you have to deal with.
I think I'm 4 blocks away from Coastal.
Isn't it fun to be an adult and have responsibilities instead of just having an apartment that you can...
Makes me want to like buy a Sprinter van and just disappear.
I mean, I really do understand... I mean, I'm kind of annoyed by all the tiny house shows.
Yeah.
But I also do understand it, too.
I do get it.
Where you just don't want to deal with shit. So you're like, fuck it. I'm just going to go live in the woods in a tiny house and not have anything.
I don't want to deal with anything. I was like talking to somebody who's a lot younger than me. And they were like, God, 3 years is so long. And I was like, now that I'm almost 40, I was like, 3 years is like nothing.
Nothing.
It's nothing. I joked that I would be into this house. But worst case scenario, I'll be in by the time I'm 40. I will be moving in like the month of my 40th birthday. If we get our permits today.
Have they already ripped open the walls and everything?
Yes.
Okay, so there aren't any surprises.
No, we had to rip them open because the city didn't have plans on file. So we needed to know sort of what we were dealing with.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then when you ripped the walls up, were they like, oh, okay, great.
They were like, oh, asbestos, awesome.
Did you have asbestos?
I did.
Oh, fuck.
I did, which the city then comes to remove for you.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it yourself.
No, it's dangerous as fuck.
I didn't care at that point. I was like, will it speed it up if I do this myself?
I don't give a shit.
I don't care. How bad can this be? We live in LA. You're like,
I mean, come on. Air is asbestos.
Morty, 30,000 people died from our atmosphere last year. We're fine.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty bad stuff, though.
It's bad stuff.
It's good. It's going to be good. So it'll be like a nice birthday present for you.
It'll be great.
It'll be great.
I won't be able to afford a trip for my 40th birthday when I'm done.
No, your trip will be
and the trip is
going to each room.
The storage unit and back is my trip.
You should theme each room around some type of international flair.
Like, this is Italy.
Yeah. Like, make the bathroom. This is shittily.
That would be great. Like those houses you walk into and you're like, wow, they went for it.
They took a swing.
They really like Tuscany. Cut the grapes and everything on the ceiling.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, no.
The little cherub angels.
I'm not. I love, like, everything you see here is antique. I love antique furniture.
Yes.
But the antique furniture that I can't abide has vegetation on it. Like, I like carved animals, but I can't stand, like, chairs with wooden fruit baskets
on them. The fruit baskets.
Yeah, I just don't get it. It really just upsets me.
To honor our pilgrim roots or something.
I guess.
I don't know what that is either.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's to, like, honor, like, when they brought the basket to the
hearth. Maybe it's
Indians.
a hearth thing.
Filled with.
I don't know, but ivy, grape leaves.
Yeah, the grape leaves thing.
Into things.
No.
I'm not a huge fan of, like, I'm fine with animals. I like dragons. I like lions. But I can't stand fucking grapes on things.
Do you like dead vegetables? Like that dried corn that people like put on tables and stuff and like dried, you like that stuff?
No, I mean, that to me feels very late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
You know, where you like, it's maize. The natives called it maize.
The maize,
you know?
Like my mother, that's how she decorated the Thanksgiving table.
You know, for Thanksgiving, I think it's appropriate. I just don't think it's appropriate for year round because at least for Thanksgiving, it is part of the festive look.
Yeah.
So that I feel like is fine. But just for year round, now you're talking to a guy who, like, my wife and I have like a ton of vintage taxidermy and skeletons in our house. So maybe I don't have the normal.
I can get on board with that. Yeah. I wanted to taxidermy Meatball when he died, and everyone thought they were like, really?
Did you do it?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I mean, I cremated him. But I didn't taxidermy. I wanted to. I thought about it. And then I thought it may scare me.
It might. Yeah, I don't know. It is a strange... I don't think I could taxidermy a pet.
A pet.
Like, I like vintage taxidermy. It's like, yeah, these things would have been dead already. Or any taxidermy we've ever gotten that's not vintage, it's like, this was not killed for the sake of taxidermy.
Yeah, I was hit by a truck.
It was hit or just died.
Yeah.
I'd feel weird if it was... I'd feel weird looking at my pet. You're like, there he is.
Like on the back of the couch. Yeah. Staring just out the
look with that. Hey, guys.
His favorite spot.
Yeah. Just feels a little too haunty.
It is a little haunty.
To me.
I think it was sort of a joke that I then took a little
a joke
far
that you considered.
People. I went for it for a second and then I was like, no,
you just cremate him. Yeah. Do you have the ashes?
I do.
Somewhere?
They're on top of Vargas's fireplace.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
So they can spawn together.
Oh, that's really sweet. That's really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have two dogs now.
Three dogs.
So you have a fucking yuppie chihuahua.
I have a terrible chihuahua that's mixed with, we did his DNA. He's mixed with one of those Chinese crested things.
Oh, really? Those like really fit.
The ones that are like, don't have fur.
Oh, but just have that line of hair.
Like a lion thing.
Yeah.
One of those. And then a big chubby pug,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing.
Yep.
And then some weird terrier mix thing that showed up on my doorstep.
And do they all have like their own personalities? And do
Do they get along
with each other?
They do.
That's nice.
So we're babysitting my friend's dog right now too, because she is best friends with my dog Happy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having a 4-day play date.
Okay.
Yeah, which is fucking horrible. It's terrible. It's really bad. You think three dogs is bad? Try four. And
what's one more?
Two of them are under the age of two. At night, they play at night. Like, I've got 3 hours of sleep today, and two of those hours at night were Happy. Lupe, stop it. Put the toy down.
God damn it, Happy.
It is 2 a.m. Stop it. Lupe, I swear.
Favorite thing is the reasoning is like giving logical arguments to pets. Why are you doing this? Yeah. You know what time it is?
Mommy's tired. Mommy is tired.
Mommy has to do press.
That's what I said all night long. I have a press junket. And then I look at my boyfriend. A press junket. He's like, yeah, they know, babe. They know. Like,
doesn't he know that I have to be on morning television?
No, they understand. We should drug him.
You can give, I think, I'm pretty sure you can give a pet Benadryl.
Benadryl. 100% yeah. Benadryl. We were on the flight coming back from Wyoming, and there's this two-year-old child that was terrible twos. I mean, like screaming bloody murder.
Sure.
And I think once you get to that point as a parent, there's nothing you can do with that kid on a plane.
Right.
Like nothing. And then you just... embarrassed, and you're yelling at your spouse because they obviously don't know what they're doing.
Everyone's stressed.
You're drinking, and like everyone on the plane thinks you're a terrible parent, but like if they would just calm down for 2 seconds, they'd realize you're doing the best you can.
Sure.
We got up the plane, and my boyfriend was like, what would you do? I'm like, just give him Dimetapp. If that was my kid, I realized there's nothing I could do. I would just give them Dimetapp. There's nothing wrong with it. That's what my parents did. I turned out great.
Yeah, I think my wife said her mom, when they were little kids, she didn't realize until years later her mom had been giving her Benadryl before she got on a plane.
Yeah.
And she said every time they got on a plane, her mom would go, time to take your airplane vitamins. Yeah. And the kids would just pass out the entire time. And my little lady was like, it wasn't until I was a teenager that I realized airplane vitamins were Benadryl.
Exactly. That's her mode of transportation as Benadryl. That's what I take on planes. I think it's because my mom gave me the purple juice, which was Dimetapp.
Wow.
That's what I saw. I would absolutely drug my kids for the benefit of everyone around me. I am a team player, like parent of the year over here.
Well, yeah. I've heard that, you know, because there is that point where there's just nothing you can do. But also sometimes there are parents that don't really seem to be aware or care. And
yeah.
It's like, are they just worn down?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they really just, does something in their... It's that same thing like when someone's talking on a phone in public and they're like, yeah, and so then I told Sheila, you got another thing. And you're like, you're not in your living
room.
How
loud people are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it just that they just, because they're so focused in on their own situation that they just have to shut the world out?
I don't know. The only thing that bothered us about that situation, the only reason we were talking about it afterwards, was the way the wife was treating the husband.
Mm-hmm.
She was treating him because the daughter didn't want to go to her at all.
Right.
So this is a two-year-old that is just screaming for daddy the entire time. And whenever the mother would say something, the two-year-old would turn and go,
That is a sad peek behind the curtain.
And loud, and everyone, you could hear people on the plane, and they were like just mortified that this baby was so loud. It was so bad. And they were trying to like negotiate with this two-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, we're almost there, honey. I understand. Can you use your words? Just tell there's nothing you can do at that point. She was, though, so condescending and rude to her husband about the whole situation that was the disgusting thing to me, that like they'd then turn against each other instead of turned against the problem. And like we were just like, that was ugly. And they were older parents. I was like, you waited till you were in your 40s to get married and have a baby. You should know better than to be an asshole to your spouse.
Well, maybe it's just more, yeah, who knows,
right?
Or maybe the fact that maybe she was just sort of over the fact that her kid was acting like a vampire that got holy water thrown on it every time she talked to him.
She's taking it out on her husband because like her husband is, she's jealous.
Oh my God. Well, I will definitely, I will be in my 40s when we have kids someday. Well,
oh,
I mean,
I'm
in my
40s. Yeah. I mean, there's no way I could have a baby and get it out by the time I'm 40. Can't even build a house. Can't cook a baby that fast.
No, the internal permits just take so long.
It's a negotiation.
It
really is.
Yeah,
especially at 40. Your
it's
body's
just
like,
not, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm glad that I've waited so long because I just don't think I was responsible enough when I was in my 20s. Because I often think, like, would it have been better to have a kid at like 22, like a lot of people that I grew up in Memphis with?
Yeah.
Who then, by the time they're my age now, their kids are like fucking grown.
Gone.
And have jobs, and they're almost their own kids.
Yes.
And but then I think, you know, now I just feel like I'll appreciate it more now because I just have a better perspective.
I think
than
so.
I had then.
My sisters, both her kids are gone, and that's really interesting because she's like 50. How old am I? 38. So my sister's 48.
Yeah.
And she turned 50 this year, and she literally, I just took a year off my age, by the way. I was like, how old am I? 38? I'm not. I'm 39.
Well, I just want to commend you for copping to that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. And her kids are gone. She's like at 50, like free forever.
Is she freaking out about that or is she excited about it?
She's a little lonely, but she's like, it's fine. This is amazing. Like, I did my job. They're done. Don't call me.
You yeah, know? But then do people have that crisis when they're 50 and their kids are out where they're like, what do I do now? Like, I have yeah. all, I don't know. I was so, I was so focused on this thing for so long. Like, what's my identity and what do I do?
I think she's having that. She's just drinking a lot of wine.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because you don't have to be sober at all anymore. You used to have to be a sober adult at home.
You drive the kids to school. Yeah, yeah. Anymore. Nope. There's no one to have to fake that for anymore.
You can't even Uber to work the next day. You don't even have to be sober ever. I think she's just really enjoying expensive bottles of red wine right now.
Yeah, I am actually excited about it. And people that I know that have had kids a little bit older say, you know what? The great thing about it is that it forces you to not focus on yourself and your own stuff. And that's very freeing to get out of your own head because then, you know, as we all do, we work. We struggle. We succeed. We fall down. We succeed. We try to get stuff going. And we're always just focused on our own thing and what we're doing. And it's kind of nice to not do that for a change.
You live your life for yourself for so long and then go, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
What do we do now?
Well, yeah, because I think it just creates a whole other level of like actual importance. You're like, oh, it's really funny that I used to stress out about a call time.
Right.
Yeah, well, those were crazy
days. Now I'm
days.
2 hours late for work. They don't care because I just go, my kid.
My kid shit everywhere. Yeah, he shit in my face. He shit in the dog's mouth. He shit everywhere. I can't come in.
I do love, though, that the actors that you work with that have kids seem to always get time off.
Like, sure.
And you're like the one that they're like, well, you don't have kids. So
my house
really,
is my kid right now. And it's,
I'm like, I have three dogs that don't sleep. Like, yeah. I'm fine. Can
and
I go
we took
home?
On a fourth.
I'm tired.
So, and one of them is very upset about this fireplace situation.
It's
so
not
we were
good.
Really going to have
really
to
not
do
good.
Something.
You should see my electric bill. I've got a goddamn electric fireplace going 20 hours a day. It's awesome.
I really hope that today when you go home, you get excellent news about your head. Cause I know the process. I know it.
Yeah.
It's never, I mean, I encourage people to do it. I think it's a great thing to do. You get to personalize your own space. But boy, is it, I mean, again, and I know these are luxury problems
of
to
course.
Get to like redo a house, you know, to sort of complain about like a very entitled thing. But you do get very emotionally attached to your home and you do want it because it's your space.
Right.
And having a space that you feel comfortable in, especially if your life is frenetic and you're running around, working a lot of places, working out of town, you want to be able to come home and feel safe and feel grounded.
Yeah.
And that's very hard to do when there's when the floors are open and there's shit everywhere.
And your dog's falling through the top floor.
Dog's falling into the floor. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love this property too because it's an old 1950s Craftsman.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Like all this military housing. And so a lot of it is protected, like historical property now.
Yep.
And it's really cool to like drive around and see the houses that have actually been maintained in the area as opposed to the ones that have been completely torn down. And now there's a big black box there.
I guess if you tore the house up, you had to tear it up. What was it like inside before? Did someone like try to modernize it in the
90s? Someone had modernized it in 2001.
Oh, yeah.
So it had, you know, it's got
a grape leaves.
Really great. Really great. It's all mismatched. I think that the, you know, the tub upstairs is one of those old round jacuzzi tubs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's classy. It's
classy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the house is not, is it part of the, can you get the Mills Act for it, which is the historical designation?
I don't know if I can. I mean, I'm leaving the facade in the front. I'm leaving the front.
You might be able to.
I'm changing the back.
You might be able to because in, I know the East Coast is a little stricter about that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think as long as the exterior is preserved, you might be able to apply for it. And if you can get historical designation under the Mills Act, I recommend it because it will dramatically reduce your property taxes. But you just have to maintain the exterior in a certain way that is period appropriate and you know, honors the architecture.
Because the back house is the same. There's the guest house, which is also another property, which is great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a house from the 50s as well. It's very cool.
Now, is the plan to keep the guest house just for guests? Or are you gonna like...
Well, that was my like backup plan. So if for some reason I never work again, I could rent out the back house. I could put up a little fence. rent out the back house and afford my property taxes.
You know, it's I'm laughing because I think almost every performer has the, well, if I never work again, I can X, Y, or Z. It's and the fact that we all say it so matter-of-factly right. because we know, like, well, I guess, I mean, it's not likely to happen, but it is a, you know.
It's a possibility. You meet those people that didn't prepare for the, well, you know, if I never work again.
Right.
And that is not what you want. Like, you do not want to be, like, you know, trying to get jobs at 70 as an actor. And, I mean, it's not fun.
Right.
I would much rather at that point just be like, you know what, that was great. If I never work again, I'm going to rent out my back house and start knitting.
But could, but don't you think if, I feel like because of the genres that you have worked in, that you, like, there's always stuff, like, you could always do sci-fi conventions
yes.
if you needed to, you could always
do Remake The Abyss.
You could always remake The Abyss, you could always do a Battlestar reunion. Like,
I know.
But I just feel like you're always going to have options.
I mean, I've been really lucky that I feel like that I will always be able to work if I want. It just may not be the level of work that I've grown accustomed to, potentially. But there's always something, I think.
But I think also it's... But I do think your priorities change, especially as you... Mm-hmm. As we start to get older, and especially as we have kids, and especially as we have, like, houses and stuff. Because, you know, I really used to think that certain types of jobs or certain types of this or that was like, oh, well, that's what you really got to work for. And now I kind of feel like, hey, I like working and I love the things that I work on, and I'm lucky that I get to work on things that I love. But I also like spending time with my wife. I also like traveling. You know, it's like the work-life balance where the life stuff, you realize that the life stuff that you were pushing out of the way for so long because of your ambitions, it's like, oh, I think that's really the most important
stuff.
The most
important, yeah, I'm right with you. I'm at a point now where I'm like, yeah, I just want to keep working, but not hard enough that I don't get to actually live my life. Like, right. I just want to, you get a little bit less like, oh, I'd do that now.
Right.
In a heartbeat, I would do that now. And so, you start to change things a little bit and actually, you know.
Yeah. Is the thing that I'm doing fun, and is it creatively fulfilling, and does it allow me to live a life where I'm relaxed and happy and get to enjoy things versus like, if I don't win an Oscar by the time I'm 45, then I'm fucking, you know.
Like, well, and I'd hate to be that person because, like, you'll never potentially get there. And I don't want to be that person that, like, the best years of my life were then or something I'm still trying to attain in order to be happy.
The fucked up part is if you do attain it and then
you're not happy.
Then you're not happy.
Well, that's the thing, though. Every time you've set a goal and been like, I'll be happy when, you get there and realize, oh, I'm still the person that hates myself.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's right, because you're delaying it is the pursuit of happiness versus the, like, being of happy, which is, you know, essentially, I mean, I've been saying lately that, you know, happiness shouldn't be treated like some drug that, oh, when I acquire, it's like, it is sort of a state of satisfaction and non-drama. Like, it's not, and comfort and appreciation. It's not this, like, rush, you know, this chemical rush. That's not happiness. Like, that's...
No.
That's
and people actually
drug.
Think that happiness is the goal when happiness is just an emotion.
Right.
And the goal should actually be a whole full life.
Right.
Which has moments of happiness. It has moments of sadness. It has disappointments and successes. It has all of it. Happiness is just one aspect of that. You
right.
know? And I don't think I hate when people say, God, I would love to just be happier.
Right.
And it's like, well,
be happier. All right, look around. Be that grateful for all the things that you see around you. Be grateful that you are able to have this conversation right now and that you're not, you know, having to do something that you hate doing.
And if you're one of those people that, like, you know, people always get upset when I say that and they're like, well, what about people with mental issues? And it's like, if you've got a problem, you should absolutely get some help for that. I'm not speaking to those people. I'm
speaking, of course.
Absolutely. But, like, for the most part, it's like, just be happy. Make a choice.
Yes, because there is a lot of dissatisfaction because this business does sort of, again, I think in trying to figure out, like, am I doing a good job? It's the sort of comparative thinking.
Mm.
It's like, oh, I know I have this, but that person has this and I'm not. I didn't get nominated for this. Like, fucking who cares? No one's going to care. In 100 years, literally no one's going to fucking give a shit whether or not you want a thing. and did you enjoy what you were doing while you were doing it, then that's it. Like, what else do you fucking want?
15 years ago, 10 years ago, that review I was telling you about, that terrible scathing review would have destroyed me.
Right.
It literally would have destroyed me. And my reaction to it now was that hysterical laughter, some tears that lasted maybe a minute.
Right.
And then I went, all right, that sucked.
Yeah.
Who cares?
And then you move on because it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter tomorrow, you know?
No, it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. Like, there's enough people in the world that someone can absolutely hate you and you can still be massively successful.
Yeah, but I think I think as performers, we do think very much like 0 or 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is 100%.
No.
And also, there's no such thing as perfection. And the most interesting things are flawed. Like, flaws are where the art is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's where drama comes from and beauty. And, you know, it's like you can't appreciate the good stuff without some of the flaws or, you know.
No, that's what makes a person, like a character, actually relatable.
Absolutely.
Is their flaws, not their perfection.
Absolutely.
Like, it's boring.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's funny now how we're kind of getting to a place in Hollywood where, you know, you see performers who get older and they don't have a ton of work done. And people are like, oh, my God, they look so healthy and so interesting. And it's like, yeah, they just
went with it. You've got a choice. Like, you get to a certain age. And, like, my doctor actually said this to me. He literally said, when you get into that age, you're either going to have to make a choice. And I was like, about healthcare? Like, I don't understand what we're talking about. He's like, you're going to go one way or the other. You're either going to let yourself age or you're going to start freezing yourself now. And I was like,
ugh.
Like now? I have to make up that decision. My mind now?
Before you leave.
Like today?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, your face is at that point. And I was like, I don't want to have this conversation, dude.
What a weird thing to say.
I feel like I'm 25 still.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have that conversation about, you know, a mini facelift. Like, I'm 39 years old.
Come on.
Can we wait a little bit?
That'd be funny if you kept subtracting here. I mean, I'm 37 years old here.
I mean,
at 36,
totally
should I really do this at 35?
I know. At 32, it's totally fine. I mean, at 32, I'll do it. But not at 35. We're so evolved.
I know.
The last time I was here, we just talked about dick nets.
Dick nets!
This time.
I have to say, though, you being on the podcast, because we didn't know each other before, and I hadn't really seen you do anything like comedic before.
Mm.
And for months after that podcast, there people were like, Jesus Christ, Katie Sackhoff is so fucking funny. And I was actually going to ask you, like, do you, you know, is pursuing comedy like something that you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to, you know. It's just people don't seem to think of me that way, and I have to fight and kick and scream to, like, get people to think of me as anything other than, like, the girl that will punch you in the face, which is what they think, and it's fine. But at some point, maybe, they'll do it. I'll probably have to produce it myself.
Yeah, but once you do, then it's, I mean, because sometimes I think you really, we have this idea in our heads of who we are, and it's like, why won't the business just recognize me for this person that I am? And sometimes it's like, you got to show them. You know, it's like you have to, unfortunately, take on the responsibility of doing it yourself.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then at that point, well, do I have the energy to do that? Do I want to do that?
I know.
So there's a lot, but I do hope you get to do more comedy too. I really hope you get to do more comedy
someday.
As well.
Right now, I just get to look tough and like beat people up.
Which is fun.
Which I'm really good at. So, well, not according to the Hollywood Reporter. You know.
I mean,
it's okay.
You know, it's like one.
It's fine.
It's just one for one.
It's okay.
It's just a person's opinion. It doesn't mean anything.
It's
totally
fine. Yeah.
People are still going to watch your show.
So subjective.
People are still going to watch your show.
Yeah, just out of curiosity now. You know, it's funny. I actually realized that, like, everyone, because of Battlestar, everybody wanted my science fiction to be smart and, you know, like, existential and, like, some weird metaphor about the human condition. And that's not what this show is. This show is popcorn fun. And we did it on purpose. You know, it was made to be light. It was made to be science and fiction, not necessarily what they wanted. And it is a fun show to watch. It's just like, if you want some, metaphor, it's not going to be our show.
Well, I mean, and not every show has to be that, you know, not every show has to be Breaking Bad or Battlestar or, you know what I mean?
Like,
there is a time and a place for that. But then there's also, I mean, the arty existential shows, of course I love them like everyone else. But there are some days where I come home and I'm like, I don't have the brain power for it.
Yeah.
It's just too much. And
there is a reason why Friends is like the number one most watched show on
Netflix. Or The Office. You know, it's it's just like you just need kind of fun for fun's sake.
It's true.
You know?
It's absolutely true.
I mean, I'm ashamed to say that I've never watched The Wire, and I know it's one of the best shows in the history of television, because every time I sit down to do it, I just go, God, I don't know if my brain, I've been working all day.
I'm going to watch a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know, you're like, well.
I'm going to watch Princess Christmas.
Right?
Again, or,
I mean, because that is a commitment. I've never seen The Wire either. I feel like a terrible human being, because everyone's like, they always compare Battlestar to The Wire. They're like, those two shows, man. I'm like, uh-huh. They're like, you know that character from The Wire? I'm like, I know.
There were wires in Battlestar.
Because
the Cylons were robots.
Yeah, so similar. Really? Especially those seconds. Seasons. You're right.
And then how about the third season? And what about the eighth season? There wasn't an eighth season. I guess if you divide up the last.
Talking about the fan, the fan stories online, you know, they kept it going.
I have a real question, which is, have you been in a situation like that before where you've been on a panel or something and you tried to fake knowledge of something?
100%. I do it all the time. All the time. You know that moment when somebody like refers to something that they just assume you know? Because like, I guess I'm an arty actor because I was on a show once, whatever. And so people talk to me about old movies all the time. And I'm, Yeah, I loved that Humphrey Bogart movie.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was really good.
And then, yeah, Touch of Evil was a classic.
Wine of Time and Roses.
Well, that's when you got to try to up the game. Actually, the original title was Time of Wine and Roses. I'm sorry you didn't know.
Somebody
that.
Pointed out to me the other day. I was just Instagramming being stupid, and like a Tiffany song came on. I'm a massive Tiffany fan.
Absolutely.
I was born in 1980.
You
have to be. I just went and saw New Kids on the Block,
which I hear was a fucking amazing show.
It was amazing. My boyfriend's 10 years younger than me, and he literally the entire time was looking at me like he'd made the biggest mistake of his life.
He's still a New Kid on the Block.
He is. He absolutely is. The New Kids on the Block have children my boyfriend's age. It's fine. It's totally fine. That youthful glow I have, that's called O-Day 29. He was shocked. He literally has videos of his face staring at me like he'd seen Jesus.
He
was like, I mean, just blown away. And the other day I said, oh my God, Tiffany's like road manager reached out and they're having this thing here in Los Angeles and they want people to come and meet her. I'm going to go. You want to come? He was like, how about you just do that with your friends? One Tiffany concert was enough for him. But somebody mentioned the song that the original was better. And I was like, he literally almost responded. And I was like, yeah, but this is the original. This is the one. This is the Tiffany song.
I think we're alone now.
Yeah, I think it's a remake.
It is.
You didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I might need some help on this, but it might be Tommy James and the Shondells.
Just don't know who that is.
Well, I'm almost 10 years older than you. So
perfect.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
That's the problem is that I was born in 71.
Copy that.
God.
It's right. You could be my boyfriend's father.
Oh, fuck.
And not even a super young, embarrassing father, but like just a young dad.
Oh, my heart. Oh, my God. This is the thing that actually kills me. My heart actually explodes.
What's the name of the band you just
said? Tommy James and the Shondells. I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around.
We're
outside Foot Locker.
Right? I missed the mall tour. Oh, my God.
While you're shopping at Chess King, make sure to come over, grab yourself an Orange Julius. Yeah, the Wurlitzer store is going to back me up on this one.
Yeah, it's really funny. Supposedly, there's like a big fight going between Debbie Gibson and Tiffany. I had no idea.
Is this a Katy Perry, Taylor Swift type of a thing where they're going to have to make up?
Made up. They're on tour together, although they were never really on stage together. But there's enough 80s touring bands for them to both have enough success. I feel like
There's enough room for everyone.
Yeah.
Do I need to call your boyfriend and go, son, you're going to need to go to see Tiffany with your mom. It means a lot to her.
With your mom.
And you're really upsetting her. You know I don't get involved unless it's important. But this was a big one for her.
And it was really important. In it the was old really days, important. You let her down, son.
In the old days, the mall was the internet.
There are moments. There are
YouTube,
moments.
The mall was YouTube. And that's how, it's you know. Fine.
One of the proudest moments of my life was when I was almost an elder millennial. I missed it by like 5
just
months.
Just a couple years, yeah.
No,
oh, like just a couple months. Okay.
Yeah, like I think it was like 8 months or something.
Okay.
But I was almost the same generation.
So you're just barely Gen X.
Barely.
By like you're a cusp.
Yeah, by like 4 months I think I'm in there.
And you almost in a way I guess because you have Tiffany, I guess that does make you Gen X-y, but it's real close because I feel like a lot of the stuff that you would have been into would have been like 90s millennial stuff.
100%. Like I know all the 90s millennial stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I was right there. I mean, like Tiffany was a little, I was 5
right.
when I was listening to Tiffany, 6.
Right.
I was so on you the were still pretty,
so you're just kind of like, you're half in, half out. Mm-hmm.
Like I thought that Joey McIntyre was my age.
And oh,
like
that's
could,
funny.
Yeah, like, and I could marry him. I was, because I remember doing the interpretive
You just mean at the
dances.
Concert? You mean
yeah,
at the concert?
I did. I jumped up on stage, took my shirt off. I went home with him. It was great. But I honestly remember doing interpretive dances on the playground and the rest of the kids thinking I was crazy to Joey McIntyre songs.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you were singing all of the...
All of them. All of the songs. Yeah.
And I hear they still sound great and that they're still...
Yeah. It was a really great experience.
Who opened for them?
No, so that's the cool thing about it. They've got enough of them, like Belle Biv DeVoe and who else? Salt and Pepper was there. So they don't do an opening act. They just come out on stage first and then they all the other bands come out. They play like 4 songs. Then like Tiffany will come out and do a song. Then like Debbie Gibson will come out and do a song. And they rotate. So it's 2 hours of continuous music from all of them.
I saw a concert like that, but it was a new wave concert hosted by Richard Blade at the Microsoft Theater. And it was like... Spandau Ballet and Howard Jones and ABC. It was like all of my, because I liked all the new wave
yes,
stuff.
Yes, so
all
that
same
stuff.
Thing. And the place was packed.
I'm too young for new wave, I think.
Yeah, you are, for sure.
Yeah, my sister could have been that. She's 10 years older
yes,
than me.
Yes, your sister would have been way into new wave.
Got it.
And I was way into new wave as well. Like Human League, like all of that. You know, The Cure, although Depeche Mode.
I knew that.
Yeah. But they're still, like they never... The Depeche Mode, like, never went away.
No,
like,
they didn't.
They were, you know, multiple albums were multi-platinum. But I remember being there, and my wife and I were there. My wife's in her 30s.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the music I grew up with. And then we're looking around. I'm like, oh, these people look really old. And she was like, well, they're probably your age. Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Uh-huh. It was a very interesting night. I mean, I bought 8 tickets and, like, just knowing that people were going to want to come with me.
Of course.
And it was very easy to get rid of those tickets.
Absolutely.
We had such a great time. It was really fun.
Yeah.
For everyone but my boyfriend. And just out of sheer, like, mortification or mortify. Yeah, whatever. I'll just throw it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Good word.
I think it works.
Does it work?
Yeah.
All right. I don't even know it's a word.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, he enjoyed it for that reason. But I think it was a one-time thing. I don't think it'll happen again.
And you got him to one.
I did. I got him
but
to one.
But do you go to any of his concerts?
Yeah, but he likes all the same stuff that I like the National. And,
oh, sure.
Yeah, stuff like that.
So this was just an outlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
he definitely wears jeans that are too short, and like he's definitely like
gotcha.
that millennial.
He's a sensitive rock guy. Yeah. I know, I get it. Well, because my wife is, her version of that is she's like, fuck, when the Spice Girls come to town, I'm like, you and your friends are going to have a great time.
She can call me. I'd be like right up there with her.
Actually, I bet that show's probably really fun.
It's probably really fun. Plus, if you turn it into like a costume party, it's really fun.
Yeah.
So like I wore all my acid wash. I had a good time.
You
like,
did.
I dressed it up. Yeah.
She wants to go see Lady Gaga in Vegas, and so we'll probably go do that.
I hear that's an amazing show.
I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, I want to see anyone in Vegas because I think at that point you're so intoxicated from being at the like pool all day. But I honestly think anyone in Vegas is the best show you've ever seen. I really do.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter
who it is.
No.
Just a band you've never heard of.
It doesn't matter.
As long as they're in a dinner theater.
Best night ever.
You're doing a great job.
Yep. Yeah.
I got to see Elton John in Vegas before. My parents used to take me to concerts all the time when I was a little kid.
Oh, that's awesome. Because they had to go
there
a lot.
So I've seen... There is just something about it. I don't know. There's something about the vibe of it that it's different than any other concert for some
reason. I've never been to a concert in Vegas.
It's so close.
Mm-hmm, I know.
You should go.
What's the first concert you ever saw? Do you remember?
I do. Now, the first concert I ever bought tickets for myself or the first concert my parents took me to?
Either or.
So the first, the first concert I ever went to was this band, the singer Tony Orlando and Dawn. And they were tie a yellow ribbon. So this was in the 70s.
Yeah.
And my dad was a professional bowler and there was a lot of bowling stuff that happened in Vegas. So they went to Vegas a lot. And so they would take me to shows with them at Caesar's Palace and MGM. Yeah. And so I saw these amazing 70s performers. I saw Tony Orlando and Dawn, Helen Reddy. But then they took me to see comedy shows. So I saw Steve Martin live.
Oh,
I saw
amazing.
Joan Rivers live. I saw Johnny Carson live.
Because they knew amazing. That
I was, even as a tiny kid, I was into comedy. So they took me to see these comedy shows that most parents
Joan Rivers was hysterical.
Amazing.
Hysterical.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We met her after the show. Like, she was coming out when we were leaving the show. She was kind of walking by, and my mom said hi, and she was like, she didn't know who we were.
Yeah.
She sat and talked to us for a few minutes.
That's
and was so
awesome.
Lovely. She was lovely, lovely, lovely. So but I don't know who else. I don't know what other kind of like big, bands with a couple of hit songs that I would be like, we got to go see these bands. But I love that they're doing these tours. And they're doing the alternative version, they're doing the pop version, and because it's perfect because you just kind of see the songs that you love.
Yeah.
They get to come out and do whatever, if it's two songs or four songs or five songs, they get to have the experience again of performing for 5,000, 8,000 people.
Yeah.
And everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy. I mean, there's not one person at that New Kids on the Block. Well, there was one. There were two people at that concert that were like, why am I here? So it was a good time. It was a good time.
I think that's nice. So you know what? It's good for him to step outside his normal comfort zone.
It is.
And experience something a little different because it's easy to get, in our age of algorithmic music suggestions, here's a bunch of stuff you already like. We're not encouraged to step outside our zones anymore.
Yeah. He's different, though. He was homeschooled and he's from a really small town in Canada. So his music tastes are very old. He almost 70-year-old.
So he's exclusively Anne Murray. Sorry. I can't handle this shit. Just give me some Anne Murray on vinyl.
What is that woman's name? Judy Collins.
Oh, Judy Collins, yeah.
Something came up on my music of a song. I had an album on my iTunes. And I was like, oh, let me change that. And he was like, oh, I like Judy Collins. I was like, get out of the fucking car.
Can't we see both sides now?
Yeah. Yep. So it's a little confusing at my house.
Where does he fall on the Bryan Adams scale?
I think he probably likes Bryan Adams, but then also is sort of he's Canadian, but he's loyal to him,
Right. So is that the Canadian test when you go back into Canada, hey there, you like Bryan Adams?
What do you feel about Shania Twain?
Yeah.
Everyone's national hero.
Oh, yeah, you bet you know I do.
Love it.
All right, come
love
back
her.
In. Shania Twain, I don't know that last album. Get the fuck out,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, fuck out. You, go back. get back to Minnesota.
I have to say, I know Bryan Adams got a lot of shit. He wrote some good songs.
His music's amazing.
It's great. Yeah.
Oh my God, I loved his music when I was seven.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's still.
Loved him.
I've been listening to a lot of, every summer, SiriusXM puts, now they have it year round on their app, but on their car lineup, they don't. And just for the summer, they put Yacht Rock. There's a Yacht Rock station.
What is Yacht Rock?
Yacht Rock is basically 77 to 84.
Awesome.
Some people sort of confuse it with easy listening, but it's not quite easy listening.
Big fan of easy listening, though.
Yes, but it's all the Jerry Rafferty and Kenny Loggins.
Right.
And,
Kenny Loggins.
And Ambrosia.
That's a handsome man.
Yeah, and every one of the songs because... Now, occasionally they'll throw some Air Supply in, which I don't agree with because
Air Supply... Air Supply is a little confusing to that.
Yeah, because... The Yacht Rock fan is not all out of love.
Yeah.
The Yacht Rock fan is clinking glasses on the bow of their yacht in a sweater vest moments before the stock market collapses. It's feel good music.
Chicago doesn't.
Chicago does count.
Does it?
Yeah. Does anybody really know what time it is?
Until I was all through high school, every breakup I ever had was Chicago.
Yeah, of course.
Every breakup. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. I'd make mixtapes of just Chicago songs that helped me through breakups.
Any fucking rock band with a horn section that's not ska, I'm in.
Love it. Love
it. I'm in.
I know.
Yeah, so there are... But Chicago's an interesting one because there are Chicago songs that fit the mold and Chicago songs that don't. But... They have different celebrities like kind of host their own hours. Like Bill Hader hosted an hour of songs that he likes. And then Bill Simmons made the excellent point that every fourth Yacht Rock song has to have Michael McDonald in it somewhere. Whether he's in the background, such a long way to go. Like even if he's in the background for one line, every fourth song's Bill Simmons, and I give him all the credit.
And he's in everything.
And he's in everything.
Everything.
Because he's solo. He's
like
Doobie
Linda
Brothers.
Warren.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. They're front. They're back. They're just
they're everywhere.
Adjacent.
It, they wrote it all.
They did all of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of that. And Yacht Rock is channel 70 right now in Sirius. Interested. It has not. I've not changed the station.
I am going to put that on.
It just feels great.
Because mine's on Alt Nation.
Alt Nation is great too. Alt Nation is great.
Yeah.
What are your favorites? Your serious favorites?
I really like Outlaw Country.
Uh-huh.
And then Alt Nation.
Yeah.
And then there's a Comedy Central one that I have on. I have on NPR.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's it. And then like news.
I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone. Around.
It's NPR. It's Tiffany.
It is NPR.
Tiffany
is
was
NPR.
On NPR. But it, so I'm First Wave, Lithium.
Yeah.
Then I just have the smattering of 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And I kind of rifle through those. I have The Highway, which my wife's favorite station.
I do like The Highway.
I don't mind it. The only thing I'll say about, because she and I always have this debate where I'm like, it's skews more pop country.
It does.
And I say like, and when I grew up in Tennessee, so, you know, country to me is like Waylon Jennings or Ray Price.
Me too.
Or, you know,
yeah.
It's like really, really hardcore country. And I always kind of tease her. I'm like, I don't know if country should have auto-tune in it. You know, but
Eric Church. Although.
She loves Eric Church.
I love Eric Church. Yeah. And that was my
Those songs
entry.
Get under your skin. They really do. They get into your heart.
that song, what's it, the Wrecking Ball song? It's my favorite song ever.
Yes.
Like, I want to make sweet, sweet love to that song.
Yes.
At some point in my life.
It is fun.
Yeah. You can do that. And then halfway through, I'd get confused and be Miley Cyrus. It would be very weird for me.
And then your floor would collapse.
And then it'd be
your
fine.
House isn't done.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And then Yacht Rock, yeah. And the Bluegrass Station. Bluegrass Junction
is
a fucking
great
station.
Yes, it's great. I also turn it to like number ones every once in a while.
Yeah,
I like the number ones. If I'm working out, I'll put it on number ones.
There's a Madonna station right now. That's fun.
Is there?
Yeah.
I like a good Madonna song.
She's about to tour again.
That's is she really?
A good concert. Yeah.
That woman.
The Madam X tour.
She doesn't stop, Madam X.
No. Yeah, the new album's called Madame X.
Is it really?
I think so.
Little do we know, she's got a harem. I bet she does.
Do you think she has a harem of
ladies?
Oh, that just
Madame X, because that's like a really good like Bunny Ranch name. Right?
Oh, I thought you meant there were like a stable of Madonnas who just
I was making a joke that there were a stable of hookers, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. The joke obviously didn't land.
The Hollywood Reporter's not going to like that joke. Got to be honest.
Not going to like that joke. Sorry, I'm going to have to send him two fruit baskets or whatever.
Well, I want to make sure, and at the top of the podcast, I'll make sure to let people know too.
Oh yeah,
that Another Life is on Netflix, July 25th.
Yeah, tonight at midnight, actually. Tonight at midnight.
Oh yeah, today's the 24th. Oh my god,
isn't that crazy?
So when this goes up,
it'll be
you
up.
Can just go see it.
Yeah, which is amazing. And then August 6th, I'm actually doing a YouTube channel.
Oh, you are?
I am.
You're starting your own YouTube channel?
I am.
What's going to be on your YouTube channel?
So it's quite interesting. I mean, I guess it's not fucking interesting. People will let me know if it's interesting.
In the YouTube comments, I don't think so. People are generally withhold by their feelings in their comments. Yeah.
People have always sort of asked me about meditation and motivation and like my fitness routine and things like that. And I asked the fans what they wanted from me, and they were very specific about what they wanted. And so it was all about motivation and wellness and sort of like seeking joy. They enjoy the things that I'm like going after in my life. And so I just thought, let's start a YouTube channel where I can control the long form version of what I'm doing on Instagram and see if we can't actually bring a little laughter to people's lives.
Okay, good. Because I just, so like 4 minutes ago, you have to wrap in 5 minutes. I got the 5 minute sign. Ah. Can you just give me like 5 more minutes? Because I know you were a meditating person.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed. Are you kidding?
With TM or a different kind of meditation?
TM.
Me too.
Yeah, I love it.
I've been doing it for a year and 7 months.
Amazing.
And I fucking love it. Mm-hmm. I still always forget to do it in the afternoon, but I do it every morning when I wake up.
Yeah, you know, it's the last, so I've been meditating over like about 5 years now, mm-hmm. 6 years. And this last year has been once a day. Like I've been so busy that my second meditation is like 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's not 20 minutes. But you have to make the meditation work for you so you'll actually do it. But mm-hmm. it changed my life.
Yeah.
I would call it roller coastering.
Yes.
Emotional roller coaster all day long. And there was no sort of like median like calmness in my life. And
yes.
I started like, I needed something and I didn't hit rock bottom by no means, but I would like, there were moments where I felt like I could be not bipolar. I'm not going to go that far, but I felt my highs and I felt my lows mm-hmm. very hard and multiple times a day. And when I started meditating, that all went away.
Yeah. Because I tell people it creates space.
Yeah.
Because when you go, 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 there's no space and there's no room for anything to like, to go wrong or be late or do this. And you're just like, I'm trying. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
And you just feel frantic and it just sort of, it removes that layer and just creates more space between, and it allows you to respond rather than react.
Yes. You get to a point where you realize that you absolutely cannot worry about the things that you have zero control over.
Which is almost everything.
And the only thing that you have control over is yourself.
That's right.
And the way you choose to react to certain
situations. And that's stoicism.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad you're doing a channel about that.
Yeah, no, I love it. So it's all about, like, we did an episode about goat yoga, which everyone has seen before, but it's like a stress reduction episode. It's all about doing things with a group of friends, which is community, getting outside, being around animals, doing yoga, meditation, laughter. It's all these things that reduce stress in our lives. And we just picked something ridiculous to sort of point that out. But so there are episodes like that. We did an episode 72 hours without any electronics whatsoever, which was quite interesting.
Except for the filming equipment.
Except for the filming equipment. We did an episode about drinking and the effects of that on your brain chemistry and how it affects you the next day mm-hmm. and whether it affects your serotonin levels and your ability to be happy the next day. Like things like that. But we're doing it in a very palatable way where it's like, give them something funny over here and then smack them with information they don't realize they're getting on the backside.
Right.
You know, like, so every episode has sort of a meaning and a message behind it, but they're fun to watch.
That's fantastic. And is it Katie Sackhoff? Is it just?
Yeah. So it's Katie Sackhoff and the name of the company, which we didn't want to name the company, but is Blood, Sweat, and Coffee. So it's sort of a metaphor for your passion, the thing that you want to accomplish, and your motivation, basically. So, and I'm so excited. It's been so much fun. Like, we have gotten to interview so many amazing human beings, like, doing some crazy things. We did an awesome episode about mental health for Suicide Prevention Day. Mm-hmm. One of my best friends took his life by suicide, and it felt irresponsible for me not to do something on that day about what to look out for and the difference between warning signs and risk factors and mm-hmm. all of these things that we're just trying to remove the stigma from that. It's an important episode and it's heavy, but we had to do it on that day, you know? So things like that, but it's the fans will let us know what they want it to be, but it will always be a message of like bringing joy to people.
That's fantastic. And also your fitness regime and your health regime. Because it's, you know, the TM is great brain exercise or rest.
Yeah.
But the body, the mind-body connection too. Like everything really, things you discover through fitness help your brain. Things that you discover with your brain help your fitness, which then bleed out into your own life. It's all connected, man.
It is all connected. And I pushed people so much to do things that scared them, and then I wasn't doing things that scared me. So my boyfriend convinced me to do a Spartan race.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is what happens when you date someone that's 29, by the way. You do shit that's going to give you a heart
attack. Because he's fucking Wolverine, and so if he sprains something, it heals the next day.
The next day.
Yeah.
I miss out on the next season of show. But the whole point was do something that scares you. You know, I don't like to do things I can't win. So for me to knowingly try to do something and to do my best and know I'm not going to win is a mental struggle for me. So I'm going to do this and I'm going to have so much fun. That is the mental struggle.
Are you going to put it on the channel?
It's all going to be on the channel. Great. The practicing, the getting myself ready for it, and then actually running the race is going to be, and yeah, it's going to be fun.
What's amazing about this is that my prediction is, and maybe you're already kind of feeling this, that, you know, all the things and all of the jobs that you thought when you were, you know, starting out, like, oh, I want this and I want to be accepted this way. When you actually just start focusing on who you are and what you're passionate about and expressing yourself to you, this might be the most fun, personally significant thing ever, because not only is it important to you, but it's all there. It's constructive and it's about physical and mental health. And how many people it will help.
Yeah.
That you might be like, oh, fuck. I mean, acting is great, but God damn it. You know, this thing is so much a part of.
People are craving authenticity.
Yes.
In any form. They just want authenticity. They don't necessarily want to know everything about my life. They just want to know that I deal with the same things that they deal with and we're in this together.
Right.
That's it. That's all they want to know. And they want to see it.
And also just a break from like toxic news cycles.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like a break and also hope that you can change your life doing simple things. There is hope. You can take steps each day. You know, it is a process. Don't be result-oriented. Be process-oriented. Enjoy it while it's happening. All that stuff.
All that stuff. The main thing I keep telling people is that failure honestly doesn't exist. It is literally just, oh, it didn't happen the way you wanted to. The outcome wasn't what you thought, but it did create a result. It produced a result. Something came out of it.
Right.
It just wasn't what you wanted. So failure doesn't exist. Just shift and focus and go to the next thing.
And also that perceived failure could be the fertilizer for a success a year
from now. Absolutely. You just have to be open to it.
You have to be open to it. Mm-hmm. I am so glad you are here.
I'm glad you're meditating.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's so funny how so many people that I know – it'll just come up and they'll go, oh yeah, I've been doing that now. Like, it's a lot of people are doing it. A lot of people that I know, especially performers and comedians, because it's just this fucking business requires so much brain energy and it's not always that fun.
No, it's not. And just that the ability, the longer you do it, I'm so curious to talk to you. I mean, because I haven't even been doing it that long, but like, you get to a point, like I'm at a point now where I can meditate through anything. Mm-hmm. I can meditate and my dogs can be jumping on me and pushing me over. And I stay in this place of, I'm aware, but I stay in this place of pure, utter calm. And like, okay, this is happening around me. Interesting. That's adding to my meditation in some way, shape or form. It's just, it really helped me.
Yeah. The person who taught me meditation, who works for the David Lynch Foundation, said, listen, every time you do it, it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. Some days you're going to like disappear. Some days you're going to kind of be at this top level, but it doesn't matter because it's just the doing it and the cumulative effect over time.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the more it just becomes a part of you. And I really understood that after a few months. Like, oh, I get that now. It doesn't have to be a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, I didn't even, you know, I didn't even drift off or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I was just thinking about chores that I had to do. It's like, okay,
so
just go back to your mantra.
Was,
that's
right?
what it was.
Yeah.
It's still helpful. Because even on a subconscious level, you're choosing something for yourself.
Yes.
And if you choose something for yourself, on a subconscious level, you are telling yourself that you are worthy of something good.
Yeah.
And that has a cascading effect over the other choices that you make.
I loved it. You know, I felt like meditation was outside of my grasp. I knew I needed it for years and I couldn't quite get there. And whatever meditation you want to go to, I just tell people, do whatever. Whatever it is, however you find that place, great. What worked for me was this. And what I loved about TM was within 2 minutes of my first session, I was meditating.
Yeah.
And for me, that had helped so much because I was so afraid of failure.
Right.
That it removed the ability to fail at something.
You can't. Yeah, there's no way to. They have made it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
It's literally the art of not doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm happy to talk about this.
I know.
Off mic, not on a podcast too. I just don't, I don't want you to be late for your next, because today's like your crazy press day. You still have a bunch of shit to do today, I imagine.
Today's a day. Today's a fun day with zero sleep. I almost got stuck in Gillette, Wyoming yesterday. That was fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you made it home.
I did. We almost had to drive from Denver.
Was there a storm?
No, just canceled flights and mechanical issues. It just was not the best day for travel. That's all.
Gotcha. But you made it back.
Made it back.
You know, you just go meditate in the airport and everything's fine.
Just meditate. I know. I was meditating through the screaming baby and laughing in my meditation. I was literally laughing as the baby was screaming because I could hear the people behind me losing their shit. They were so upset and I was so zen and the baby was like, "Aah!" And I was like,
if you can do that, that is what that there's not much else you can ask for in life than the ability to do that, to be able to control your state and let go by control, by not controlling.
No, I'm laughing because I was thinking of myself. I'm going to be the parent that's meditating and their kid's going to be screaming up and down the aisles and I'm just going to be like, not my problem.
Everything's great.
It's great.
Everything's just great.
Isn't it great?
It's no, because you're going to be the parent that teaches your kid how to meditate at a young age.
It's my plan.
And the kid's going to calm down.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, Katie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was nice. It was a bit long. Sorry about that.
No, and listen, I would go, as soon as you started talking about the YouTube, I'm like, oh fuck, I wish I'd stumbled across that sooner, but that just means like after you've had the YouTube channel on for a while, you can come back on and we'll talk about it.
Oh, I'd love that.
But I'm so happy you're doing it. And that is launched already, or it is?
No, August 6th.
August 6th, great.
Yeah, and we're doing it in 10 episode increment, like seasons. Okay. So I can work it in with filming, so I'm not beholden to like every single week, but there will be content up every week. It'll just be smaller when those episodes, there'll be three big 10 season or 10 episode seasons, and then smaller episodes in the middle.
Great. Yeah. All right, so Another Life on Netflix, available now, and Katie Sackhoff on YouTube. Katie Sackhoff, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Think we're alone now.
Doesn't seem to be anyone around.
Go to the Foot Locker, buying my parachute pants at the merry-go-round.
Woo!
Work it out, Debbie and Tiffany.
Guys, life's too short.
Come on. Shake your love, guys.
Oh my God, shake your love. I just can't shake your love.
I just can't shake
your love.
Perfect.
God, I could do this forever.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
That was ID10T number 1013 with Katie Sackhoff. And I feel like a good word salad wrap for today is all about patience. And process. Patience is very hard to cultivate, especially now because we're so result-oriented and we are basically just convenience addicts in our culture. We can get things however we want, whenever we want, and like on demand. This is the on-demand age. And everything is on demand. I demand to see this thing right now. I demand to rent the Lizzie McGuire movie immediately. I don't know why I just pulled that out of thin air. But, you know, it's just the idea that we are so obsessed with our own convenience and how impatient we can get if we don't get something like ASAP this second, right now, yesterday, you know, and not really... Again, appreciating processes, appreciating, you know, the length of time that something takes and really just kind of being okay with the process because, you know, and this was born out of the idea, the idea that we talked about when you're renovating houses. You're renovating a place, you're restoring a place. Yes, it's a luxury to be able to do such a thing, but it is a process and it does create stress because most of it goes wrong. And so it's a good metaphor for life because I think a lot of us sort of live at zero or 100%. Things are either a complete failure or a complete success. And there's no like, you know, but most things are like a B or a C. So, you know, a grade. And so, you know, house renovation is a great practice for that, because a lot of things go wrong during a renovation, and it sort of teaches you, like, oh yeah, that's life. You know, you get the zeros and the hundreds, and then you just sort of, those are the outliers, and then you just sort of average the in betweens. And if you can sort of be comfortable with that, then I don't know. I just feel like it's much better to just kind of expect that that's what's going to happen in life. Now, again, you know, most things you do in life will just take time. You know, they are not Amazon where you can order something immediately. You know, this entertainment business, developing television shows take time. Developing movies takes time. Developing any other projects takes time. If you're an architect, that takes time. If you're, you know, going to school to become a doctor, that takes time. If you're trying to figure out what you want to do in life, that takes time. And you just have to, you know, like every day, just do little bits that you can here and there. Sort of like how I used to write stand-up only when I felt like struck by an idea or inspired by something, which is fine. But then the problem with that is that you're going to go through periods where you don't feel inspired by anything. So a handful of months ago, I started this sort of morning writing ritual. It's a very common thing for people to do. But I'd never really done it before. And so, yeah, I go to breakfast in the morning and then I write, I tinker. You know, it's like, I don't have to work at 0 or 100, you know, like, I think I used to convince myself that, you know, ideas either had to be like A+, 100%, or I'm not going to write them down. It's a waste of time. Now it's like, well, I write down whatever comes into my head. May not be great, may not be usable, or I'll tinker with old bits. I'll go back in and try to move stuff around, but just sort of keeping the machine going, and that embracing the process part has made it not only so enjoyable, but my stand-up bits are getting tighter as well. And meditation is another way to practice patience and mindfulness, which Katie talked about too. And again, I'm so delighted and fascinated by how many people have discovered TM or TM practicers or mindfulness practicers. So I'm kind of glad that we mentioned that in the corkboard at the top, where those people are doing the mindfulness podcast. But the mindfulness thing on Amazon. The idea being that you just do it. You don't expect anything from the meditation or the TM. You're just doing it to do it. It's just part of the process. And the cumulative effect overall of the work that you're putting in, you know, will produce a result, some result someday or some result in the future or in the immediate present. But it's not a result that, you know, you're clamoring to have. If it's all result oriented, graded on 0 or 100%, then I feel like you're setting yourself up for a lot of disappointment, because life just isn't that way. There's a lot of imperfection in life. And I've said this a million times before, but there's no artistry in perfection. The beauty and the interesting things of life are in the imperfections. I think that's why I love antique furniture so much and old houses and house restoration, and is because the imperfections are where the experience is, and that's where the living happens in the life, and the imperfections are where the stories are, you know? I mean, some prefab perfect factory, like right out of the can kind of a thing, it just doesn't have any story to it. It was just manufactured by a thing, so it just feels like a thing, you know? The beauty in life is in the stories, and again, in the imperfections. So enjoy that, embrace those processes, be patient, don't necessarily be so result-oriented that, you know, I mean, obviously some results we need to happen, we want to happen. Goals are good because they give us a direction. But really, as I've said a million times before, it is all about the process. So practice patience. Sometimes forces are at work that you are not aware of. So if it feels like you're not moving in any direction, at least if you're taking little actions and enjoying the process, there are things sort of working in the background that will reveal themselves to you at some point. I believe. So don't give up. Be patient. Practice patience. Cultivate mindfulness. Cultivate life mindfulness, which, you know, again, being patient, enjoying the process. So I know I've repeated a lot of stuff, but I think they are things that are worth repeating. So I hope you enjoy that. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. And I will see you in your ears next week. And I hope to see you in Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend, August 8th through 10. If you're there, Good Nights Comedy Club. All right. Thanks so much. Have a good day, night, evening, middle of the night, whenever.
ID10T scanning complete. Enjoy your burrito.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.